At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, combining raw power with precision engineering, all backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. Climb inside a Tundra and experience the uncompromising strength. With its available iForce Max engine, the Tundra delivers exceptional power, torque, and towing capacity. Plus, the spacious and high-tech cabin keeps you connected on the run. Or check out a Tacoma. Agile, dependable, and unstoppable. The Tacoma is designed for those who go beyond the trails. Stay ahead of the pack with available off-road features like crawl control. Or break out your tunes with the available portable JBL speaker. Toyota trucks are built to last, year after year, mile after mile. So outlast every adventure and outlive the moment. Buy a Tundra or Tacoma today. Visit buyatoyota.com, the official website for deals. Or stop by your local Toyota dealer to find out more. Toyota, let's go places.
All right, here we go on a Wednesday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Jay Binkley in for Cody today and tomorrow, as we have Bink and Logan filling in until next Wednesday while Cody is gone. I think I can share because Cody texted us. Surgery went well. Everything is good on his end. I'll let him tell a story he told us when he comes back on Wednesday. I'll let him share that. But surgery went well for Cody, so great news there, and he'll be back next week. You guys can interact with us on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Also, video stream going to be up and running on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and X. You can, of course, subscribe, and you should subscribe on YouTube. That way you don't miss this show or any of the shows here on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan. Here in 30 minutes, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, will join us. We'll get a former player and national perspective on a must-win game for the Chiefs, I believe. I think we all kind of agree there on the divisional front come Sunday afternoon. And if he agrees with something, we're going to start the show talking about today. Plus, don't forget Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes at 11:45. And very interested in hearing from Andy on Josh Simmons. And is he practicing today? Is he a full go today? And of course, does that mean he's in line to play? Now, I am not saying we've all done this long enough, whether you're hosting this show, whether you're just a fan of the team and have heard Andy Reid press conferences. I'm not expecting Andy Reid to flat out say today, Josh Simmons is or isn't playing on Sunday. However, it can maybe give us a little bit of insight on where he is trending, most notably if he practices or not. But Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes coming up at 11:45. So hope you guys are having a good start to your Wednesday. Some people back at work today, as everybody, of course. Yesterday we mentioned on Veterans Day, for those of you that were able to listen and those that have served our country and are currently serving our country, we appreciate all of you, whether it's Veterans Day or not. But good to have everybody back. Good to have you, Bink, filling in today. You've got your, I think that's the salute to service cap on today, the Chiefs cap, right? That's what that is, isn't it?
It is. Salute service hat, yes. You notice I'm wearing them the month of November.
There you go. Do you know?
So always try to be ahead of the curve.
A couple things real quick before we get into a conversation about the 2025 Broncos. So today around the building, I didn't know this. I was out of the loop, I guess. Across the entire building today, we have a Thanksgiving chili cook-off. Did you guys know this? Drew, did you know about this as well? I think I remember seeing an email before I went out of town.
I think I did get the email about this one, yes.
Okay. I got the email, I think, before I went out of town, and then I completely forgot, and then I went over to the kitchen area, and I saw people setting up crock pots again. We just had a potluck like a week or two ago, didn't we? And today's a Thanksgiving chili cook-off, and did any of you make chili? Did anybody at the station make chili is my question. Whose do I need to avoid or whose do I need to try? Because this is much like the potluck category where I'm kind of out. I'm kind of out on it. But Bink told me he's going to eat chili. And Drew is very concerned that Bink is not going to make it through the entire show because Drew bought Bink breakfast and Bink said he's going to have the chili cook-off food.
It's not that I bought Bink breakfast. It's the fact that Dusty came out and says that Bink has a history of the food of the sausage burrito that I got him at McDonald's. It gives him a little extra gas, and I was like, "Well, I'm sorry in advance to you, Alex, because you might. I know you don't have.
I can't smell. Yeah. Are you telling me, Bink, you're gonna make it through?
Yeah, I'm gonna make it through. I'm gonna try.
Are you a bean or no bean in your chili? I definitely team bean on that for sure. Yeah, I think you gotta go with the chili with the beans.
Yeah, chili with the beans for sure. I'm gonna attempt to make it at some point. I'm gonna actually attempt to make chili.
Well, for who?
Myself.
Oh, okay. Did I tell you real quick? the last chili potluck that I had at the workplace before was many, many jobs ago, and my co-host at the time, this is when I was in Topeka, my co-host at the time, there was a chili cook-off contest. He brought a crock pot, but he went to Wendy's, and he bought a bunch of their chili. And actually, for fast food, I would say their chili is not bad. It really isn't. Anybody that's had it, you know what I'm talking about. I know you'd be like, oh, that's gross. It's actually not. He brought it for the chili cook-off contest, and he won with the Wendy's chili bank.
That's what I have at home. The Wendy's chili. Get a pie.
He did. He won with that. All right. I'll let Bink settle in. He's very nervous right now because he got locked out of his computer, and we've got him very flustered to start the show, and that's why he's giving me short answers on a topic like chili. His email is locked out. His rundown is locked out.
I can't cook worth the crap.
Did you get back
that.
In? Or are you still
no,
locked out?
Still locked out.
Okay. So Drew, sorry. You can see that he's a little on edge to start the show. He's frustrated. If you're watching on camera, we're 5 minutes into the show and we've already lost Bink because he's frustrated with the computer.
Yeah, I don't like computers, so it's going to use the phone now. So go ahead.
All right, so let's talk about the Chiefs and the 2025 Broncos because we were talking off air about this yesterday, and then Mitch Holthus was actually on with Fesco and Dusty and brought this up as well, which is, I think we all have watched the Broncos this year. Well, they're first place in the AFC West. We've watched them, and they're not an impressive watch. Fair to say, right? Like, they're not an impressive watch. But how many times last year did people say the Chiefs were not an impressive watch? And yet they won 15 games. They won all those one-score games. At one point, they had won 17 one-score games in a row, going back to the prior season as well. And it feels like the 2025 Broncos are the 2024 Chiefs. Here's even what Mitch Holthus said when he was talking to Dusty and Fesco the other day.
That's not been the case.
Right.
But this is let's just say it's a significant challenge because right now Denver is the Chiefs of a year ago. Mm-hmm. Last year, the Chiefs won 11 one-score games, and they're so lucky. Oh, my gosh, you can't live like that. The Broncos have won, six of their eight like this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like they're gritty and tough. You can't count them out. So it's just the narrative. But really, the Broncos are having what the year the Chiefs had last year.
I could not agree more. Now, I think that I haven't heard a ton of the narrative part of where people are saying the Broncos are just like gritty and all that. I don't know about that part. Maybe that is the national narrative. Maybe people outside of Kansas City are not talking about them having a similar season as the Chiefs did a year ago. That part might be true. I haven't heard that part, but I 100% agree with Mitch on the comp, which is if you watch the Broncos, they absolutely look like the Chiefs from a year ago, and they're not doing it in a flashy way, and they don't look all that impressive. It doesn't seem like such a daunting opponent. Hell, the Chiefs, Bink, are 3.5-point favorites on Sunday on the road at Denver, and the Broncos are an 8-win football team.
Yeah, it's tough, but there's a lot of similarities. Okay. Like last year, 2024 Chiefs, they finished 17th in the NFL in total offense. This year's Broncos team is actually 13th. And let's not forget, the Chiefs weren't exactly lighting up the scoreboard last year. They had no games over 30 points, which I get it. They did sit on it there at the end of a couple, or they could have scored over 30 points. Broncos have two of those. They have beaten the Eagles in Philadelphia this year, which is an impressive win. They scored over the 30 mark twice. Once was the Cowboys and the Bengals. Obviously, those are not great teams and great defenses. So I get it. But everything is very similar. The key is Broncos are better in the rushing game by a lot, and you would agree they're a better running team. The Chiefs are 22nd last year in running, but they're averaging one more point than the Chiefs did in 2024. So I get it. You know, things are thrown out of the whack a little bit when you score 44, but the Chiefs had five games under 20 points because they won one game scoring 17. They won another game winning 16. They won two games scoring just 19 points. So it did happen. But yeah, Mahomes better than Bo Nix. We know that. But as far as the other talent around, as far as the running backs and some of the receivers, yes, the Broncos at this point are on par with that team from last year.
The Broncos defense is top notch. The sack numbers are insane for them. I don't want to gloss over the fact, though, what you said 15 seconds ago, which was the quarterback part of it. Because yes, everything you rattled off the numbers and how similar they are. And yes, they have a better rushing attack than the Chiefs did a year ago as well. But that's the part I can't get over is the quarterback. And so as much as we sit here and say they're just like the Chiefs from a year ago, the difference from a year ago is, yeah, the Chiefs were winning one score games, but also I knew come playoff time that Patrick Mahomes was going to raise his game, elevate his game, and come up with big plays. And he did up until the Super Bowl when everything was a disaster, as we all know, against Philadelphia. But prior to that, they obviously were a different offense in the playoffs. They protected Mahomes at a higher level. Joe Tooney was playing great left tackle. Like, everything changed in the playoffs, and the play calling seemed better, all of it. I don't have that same level of confidence. I don't even know how a Broncos fan could. That Bo Nix, if they're not the number one seed, and I don't think they will be, maybe they win the division, Sunday's going to decide a lot of that. If Bo Nix, even if he gets a home playoff game, is he winning three games in the postseason in a row in close fashion when he has to go have a game-winning drive? I still can't get over that. And call me a Bronco hater. I don't care. That's my challenge. Now look, they can beat the Chiefs on Sunday. I think anybody would be foolish to suggest that the Broncos cannot win on Sunday. That'd be weird. We'll talk on tomorrow,
especially
and Friday more.
As close as they played them last year, man. Arrowhead Stadium's full strength, and block field goal.
The one at Arrowhead, yeah. I mean, I don't. Week 18 doesn't matter. I saw some Broncos fans.
It didn't matter at all.
I think trolling on Twitter, acting like that Week 18 game was anything. But Carson Wentz and the most vanilla game plan I've ever seen in the National Football League for a regular season game. But I'm just saying, like, the Broncos can beat the Chiefs on Sunday. They can get to 9 wins, but I just don't put them in the same category like we did yesterday on the show. Bink, you weren't here. Logan was in. But we were going through our Super Bowl contenders. Not a single one of us listed the Broncos, right? Not a single one of us. We were arguing about should the Patriots be on the list or not. I think even with the second-year quarterback, the Patriots, I in a weird way, I believe that they are more dangerous. And maybe I'll feel differently on Sunday if the Broncos beat up the Chiefs. Maybe I'll feel differently. I just don't look at Bo Nix, and I'm not impressed. I'm
thinking
sorry.
Home field advantage. I'm just not impressed. If you looked at their schedule, you looked at the Broncos' schedule.
Admittedly, no.
After the Chiefs bye week, then they're at Washington. Of course, they're going to be favored in that game. Then they're at Las Vegas. Then they get the Packers at home, and you've seen the Packers. They're very up and down. Dr. Mm-hmm. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde team. Then they're Jacksonville at home. That's a win for the Broncos. Then they're at Kansas City, and obviously, you know, that'll be a tough game for them. And then it's the Chargers at home to get redemption for them. So I'm saying the schedule is very favorable for the Broncos the rest of the way, especially having the bye week right after the Chiefs. But the schedule is built for them. That's the scary thing about this game. That's why you must. Obviously, we know it's a must-win game.
Clearly a must-win. The division's over if the Chiefs
lose. But their toughest game by far is at Kansas City. Because the rest of them, at Raiders, not a tough road trip. At Washington, that's manageable. But home game is against Green Bay and Jacksonville and the Chargers. Very, very comforting for the Broncos going forward.
Comforting, but I could see them still losing two of those.
Well, the one thing about the Broncos, and I do think the Chiefs are a better team, clearly I think the Chiefs actually win this weekend, is they can run the football. And Dobbins is up and down with that foot injury. Whether they've talked about throwing him on the IR, talked about him possibly playing this week, we don't know. We'll see the injury reports when it come out. But Harvey's a decent running back too. And that offensive line, whatever metrics you're looking at, is the best offensive line of football at this point, the way they're playing. So when you have that in a running game, in a defense that gets after the quarterback in historic fashion, let's not forget they have 46 sacks. That is 14 sacks better than any other team. that is 14 sacks better, how they can get to the quarterback. So they have the ingredients and the things they do. One of the problems is they are the number one penalized team in the NFL. They also give up the most penalty yards in the NFL. Two things kind of going against the Broncos going forward. I mean, also we know that they lead the NFL in punts. Yeah. So they get in situations where they do it. I'm just saying that they can put together with that defense. You have to go back to, 1989? With the team with more sacks this far into the season, the Broncos, it was the Vikings, so I think of 50, and the Broncos are sitting there with 46. It's a problem with them getting to the quarterback because they can do it. It's how they've been winning. It's, they've been winning good games. And when you look at the two-point win overseas against the Jets, and you think, minus 10 yards passing for Justin Fields, that defense led the way. 33 points in the fourth quarter against the Giants. Yeah, it took till the end. Yeah, Bo Nix is a bad quarterback, 1-3. But he's decent in the fourth. Like, they're finding a way to win games at the end where bad teams like the Raiders that couldn't put away the Broncos and that couldn't put away the Jaguars in overtime the week before, they find a way to lose. They're finding a way to win games.
And that's why the comp, though, that's the whole comp from last 100%. Year with the Chiefs. Like, yeah, I don't think anybody's disputing whether the Broncos are a good team or not. It's just that they are winning in almost identical fashion as the Chiefs did a year ago. And it is true that last year people were unimpressed by the Chiefs despite being a 15-win team. The Broncos, I don't know, they might win 13 games. I have no idea what they're going to win, 13, 14 games
this
year.
Well, the schedule sets up for them very nicely. So the Chiefs got to knock them down.
I'm just saying that they are winning those close games, and everybody, much like the Chiefs last year, are waiting to be like, that's not sustainable. And I am saying the difference and the reason why last year was more sustainable still and why I thought people locally were correct on this was Patrick Mahomes with the quarterback. I could see it being less sustainable here down the stretch and into the postseason for the Broncos because their quarterback is still limited, in my opinion. While the ceiling while the floor is high still for Bo Nix, the ceiling is way, way lower, than it is for Patrick Mahomes. And so I would wonder come playoff time. Now, Sunday's not a playoff game for the Broncos, although it might as well be. So we'll see. I think Kansas City and the way they are positioned going into this game off of the bye week. I think they got a great chance to beat the Broncos.
And one thing important for the Chiefs,
put them back down to earth a little bit.
Of course, you want to get up early lead, but that fan base will start booing the Broncos. Like, if you're the Chiefs, you have to know this because this is what they'll do. They're already worried about the Chiefs coming in there because they don't like the way that they've been playing lately. They actually booed Bo Nix and the Broncos. They're booing an 8-win team. So get them to the point where they start booing the Denver Broncos because it probably will happen. I'm just saying.
I don't know. That's happening on Sunday.
But that defense, that line, that running game, they can win games. According to Lynn Sutton, his numbers are pretty much identical than Travis Kelce's. I mean, they're pretty much the identical stats going forward.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, is going to join us. We'll ask him that same question. Does he see the comparison between the Chiefs of last year and the Broncos of this year? We'll talk AFC, bigger picture stuff with Ross Tucker in just a bit. Last night, normally we wouldn't plan on talking about a college basketball game involving Texas A&M Corpus Christi and the Kansas Jayhawks. I don't want to talk about the game itself. Look, Kansas won by a wide margin. Okay, that's not the story. The story and the question is their star player, Darren Peterson, potentially the number one overall draft pick in the NBA draft this coming summer. And he sat out last night. And it was surprising to everybody because it was up until, an hour or two before tip-off when he walked out for warm-ups and he was in street clothes. You're like, okay, well, he's not playing. And at that time, I believe the media that was there reported that they were told by KUPR that essentially Bill Self will address it after the game. So that led to rampant rumor and speculation on social media during the game, before the game. Like, all right, what is really going on here? Is this load management? Is this his agent, his team around him? What is going on? So I want to play you what Bill Self had to say. They're saying it's a hamstring injury.
Well, you know, he played the whole game against Carolina, and then we were off Saturday, practice Sunday, practice Monday, and practice today, this morning. But his hamstring was tight this morning, so you know I'm not going to risk that. So hopefully it's precautionary. You know, on the reason why he didn't play. So I look forward to seeing him in practice on Thursday. So at least we think that's the case. But it was tight after he practiced today. We practiced this morning at 10 and he practiced. So we didn't anticipate this, but at the end of practice, he said it was tight. So they told me no reason to go.
So this is the first regular season game that he's missed. I want to be clear on that because for whatever reason, like the way fans were discussing this last night, you would have thought, Bink, that they've played eight games and he sat out like five of them or four of them or three.
Yeah.
He played in the Green Bay game, which is also a cupcake. He played in the North Carolina game. They looked terrible, as we all know, in the second half. They got their butts kicked. He did not play in the exhibition against Fort Hays State, I think. Okay, big deal. And then he played in the exhibition scrimmage or whatever it was against Louisville, and he looked great. Louisville also just beat Kentucky last night, by the way. Here's the question I have. It's not so much, do I think he's under load management now? No, I don't. I think it's way too early to determine that, and I think that's just Twitter speculation at this point. Now, they play Princeton coming up on Saturday. If he misses that game, is it just because it's a hamstring, or is it because it's an easier opponent? Because then they play Duke, Notre Dame, Syracuse, and then Mizzou. So the schedule... UConn as well. All those included. So it's a very difficult stretch coming up. I don't believe they're in a load management era right now with Darren Peterson at this point. But it makes you wonder, are we going to see that at some point in time, right? Like, are we going to see that with some of the top prospects, guys that are going to be number one draft picks? Is this something we should start expecting? Because let me be clear, I actually do not think that's what's going on yet.
I don't either, but do we see it going forward? I do. I mean, everything's changed. Everything's changed in the college football world, especially with, you know, talking about just that in particular with guys doing this. And also, we're seeing a rash of guys like Dylan Edwards didn't want to go over that four-game threshold. He entered his transfer portal. So guys are kind of pulling themselves out early. It's just a different time and day. And with load management, you're playing Corpus Christi. They're 1-3 in the Southland at this point. So that was one of those games where you don't want to push it with an elite player. Like, I get it. It was Corpus Christi they were playing. I do think the opponent makes a difference, and I think we might see this going forward with bad opponents as far as resting players. I think you're on. So I think we see this more and more going forward.
Yeah, so the question is about moving forward with other players or with him himself.
I think you see it. I'm just saying, guys, take it easy all the way around, all sports.
Yeah, I'm just saying that, like, last night, he had a hamstring injury. That's what they said. Now, basically, you're trying to say, are they telling the truth or not? Because if he had a hamstring injury and he didn't play against Corpus Christi because they're being precautionary, that doesn't mean it's load management. That means that he's got a hamstring injury, and why the hell would we risk it on November the 11th?
Against Texas A&M, against Corpus Christi.
That, to me, is not load management. That's just being smart. Load management is, he doesn't really have an injury. We got three games in X amount of days. We got a big game coming up. Let's not play him. People are speculating that that's what happened. I'm saying I think his hamstring got tweaked in practice, and it's like, if it was the NCAA tournament and the Final Four, he's playing.
He's gonna play,
that's not load management to me. Load management's what we see in the NBA. They play out a Wednesday, and then, like, there's no injury at all, and he just sits out the next game, and then he plays the next game, and he sits out, and he plays the next game. That's load management to me.
I think we will see.
I don't know, Drew, where you're at.
We will see load management this clearly in that case. I honestly think you just don't want to push it against the opponent, which was Texas A&M Corpus Christi. But I think that's true, though. I think you will start seeing some of this going forward, Alex.
I just think that you're playing, if we're talking about, especially with it being like college basketball and the expectations on teams and coaches in particular, they're not going to just sit a guy because they're playing against somebody, because they know, like, the more games you can log as a group together, you build that chemistry. That's what the games are like these are for. Is it's not just for the smaller schools to test what they have against a better opponent. It's, hey, let's collectively get all of our guys in. Let's get everybody playing and try to build that cohesiveness, so then by the time we get to Big 12 play in January, we've got a group that can go ahead and get to the top of the conference and continue to try to push for that top three seed, top four seed in the tournament, and try to make a run at the Big 12. It feels like these games are very important to that, where even if it is any load management sort of thing, I don't think it is. They play Towson, and I don't know when exactly, but later on in the schedule after that bad stretch. If I was Bill Self, you're playing. Like I'm playing everybody, but I have a plan going in of, I'm not wearing you out playing this game against Towson. Like, you'll play 15 minutes with the rest of the starters, and then we're going to get everybody else some run. I don't think there's ever in college basketball going to be intentionally resting players.
Oh, see, I do think
they're playing a
bad, because they're playing a bad opponent. I vehemently think that is never going to happen.
So that's where I disagree. So let me be clear again. I do not think that's happening yet with Darren Peterson in Kansas. However, I absolutely think, whether it's this year, next year with NIL and the money. And I'm talking specifically guys that think they're going to be top five picks in the NBA draft, which there's a couple of those guys right now.
You see it in other sports, too. You see it in football all the time.
I absolutely believe we will get to a point where, much like we saw at the end of college football season with the meaningless bowl games, and the first player that kind of was doing that was actually Christian McCaffrey. He took a lot of heat for it when he didn't play in the Sun Bowl many, many, many years ago. And that to me was smart. I think you're going to have somebody trying to protect themselves and their own investment in themselves and the people around them.
I disagree, because that's in the postseason where the game doesn't matter. Resting in a game now, you're still, like, to me, the fact that they're getting paid now actually is part of the reason why I think it's never going to happen. Because if they were not making money, then I think, you know, if you want to pull a Jamar Chase, yo, man, I'm not playing this season. I'm not going to play at all. I'm going to go and I'm going to train on the outside of it.
Well, then that's
fine. But the fact that these players are getting paid now, it feels like to me...
They're not paid per game, though.
I understand that, but I would not be surprised where if a booster was like, look, man, you're not playing
you better get that in the contract, and there's no contracts.
I'm going to be honest. Right? I think that the under the table stuff is you're playing all these games, otherwise you're not getting this NIL. I think that's still part of the deal that's going on right now. Where
I think more and more guys are looking out for themselves, though. That's why I brought up the redshirting thing.
I understand
that,
but
guys do take care of how many games you played, so you can still hit the transfer portal and say you're of eligibility. Guys care about this stuff more now than they ever have. That's why I kind of linked the eligibility and the redshirting with this, because guys are looking out for themselves more.
I think it's different, because when you're looking at Bill Self, Bill Self is, unless it's Darren Peterson taking himself out, Bill Self is never going to rest him on purpose for a game because they're playing Texas A&M Corpus Christi. That will never happen.
I think that's very wishful, optimistic thinking.
It's got a hamstring. We don't want to push it. We have number 3 and 4 in the nation coming up. Don't want to push it. I mean, I can see it happening.
Yeah, but no. That's not load management, though. I think that's looking out for your player who tweaked his hamstring in a game or who has dealt with cramps previously.
Sure, you don't want to push it, so it's easier to not play them.
But it's because he tweaked his hamstring. It's a very thin line in terms of what is and what is not load management. But if you tweak your hamstring in practice, and we're playing Texas A&M Corpus Christi, sorry, man, you're not playing, and it's because you tweaked your hamstring. It's not you're totally healthy, and we're playing a team that's not good, and we're resting you. I think that's a load of crap.
This is this case at all. I think it's a legitimate injury, but I do see this going forward with certain players.
We'll get back to this.
Taking it easy.
We'll get back into this a little bit later on in the show, guys. Up next, get back to the NFL, though. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, is going to join us. We'll discuss the Broncos of 2025 and how many actual Super Bowl contenders does he see right now. We kind of did that exercise yesterday. We'll get his perspective.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Mercy. Barista's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Barista's.com.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive. Backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Next. All right, back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon with you. Bank filling in for Cody today and tomorrow. Don't forget, coming up about an hour or so from now, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. It is time, though, to get a national perspective on the NFL and the huge Chiefs-Broncos showdown Sunday afternoon from Ross Tucker. He is our Odyssey NFL insider. Insider calls brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. We were discussing to start the show, Ross, that it feels like this Broncos team from 2025 is the Chiefs of 2024, and that they're winning all these close games. Maybe not all that impressive, but hey, they're winning games.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm ready to go there, but there are some similarities for sure. It's funny, like when you say that, I immediately think of Patrick Mahomes and obviously Bo Nix. I'm like, yeah, no,
exactly.
I'm not comparing.
For sure.
I'm not comparing those teams. I'm not comparing these two. However, you know, Nix has pretty clearly played his best late in games when it's mattered the most and found a way, you know, against the Eagles, a lot of these games to find play his best at the end against the Giants, and they find a way to win. So, yeah, I guess there are some similarities in that regard. Although, you know, the flip side would be the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of funny. You know, the Broncos out here 8-2. Chiefs 5-4. The game's in Denver, and the Chiefs are still 3.5-point favorites. And by the way, everybody agrees they should be.
No question about it. When you look at that defense they have, though, the sacks, the 46 sacks, leading the NFL by 14 sacks, with Zach Allen, what he's doing, Nick Benito, that defense does cause teams problems. When you look at the Broncos' schedule going forward after the Chiefs, it's very favorable to the Denver Broncos. But this defense, you going to say it's an elite pass rush at this point, or they still need to prove themselves more?
No, they are. They're elite. You know, they just don't have, for whatever reason, and games like this make a big difference, they don't really have any household names. I'm not sure why, because Zach Allen should be, Nick Benito should be. I mean, these guys should be household names, but like I said, for some reason, they're not. And maybe they will. I mean, that would not be good for the Chiefs. If they become household names after this game, that would be poor timing for you guys.
Yeah, no question.
The AFC West, though, Ross, looking at that, where the Broncos already, as you said, have 8 wins, the Chiefs sitting at 5-4. I mean, it seems very obvious here. I mean, if the Broncos win this game, the Chiefs' chances in the division are over. The Broncos, I guess, would still have to worry about the Chargers. But to me, if the Broncos can beat Kansas City and get to 9-2, with that game still on the horizon against the Chargers, who they already did lose to earlier in the season, I feel like the Broncos are winning this division if they win Sunday.
Yeah, I think they have a really good chance. And I think the thing I feel strongly about, along with you, would be if the Chiefs lose the game, they're not going to win the division.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the good news for the Chiefs is that I think everybody believes that they could go on the road 3 straight playoff games and win those 3 games and get back to the Super Bowl. And that's certainly possible, but you don't want to be in a position where you're increasing your degree of difficulty. Just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. I mean, I broadcast the Packers Eagles game on Monday night. Okay. I could have had 3 brats at halftime. I had 2. I showed restraint. I only had 2 in a 5-minute period at halftime. But just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. The Chiefs, I think, coming off a bye, recognize the incredible importance of this game. I'd be surprised if we don't see, you know, the best version of them.
How viable do you see, Ross, as far as the Chargers are concerned? Because you look at this hierarchy of the AFC West with the Chiefs, the Broncos, and the Chargers all kind of in the mix. This team, and you being a former lineman, when you think about the Chargers, yeah, things were good for them at first. Joe Alt was playing. Does the tackle make that much difference? Because he was out. Pipkins is out. Obviously, Rashawn Slater's gone for the year. Alt comes back. They absolutely rolled the Minnesota Vikings 37-10. Then they had to hang on against the Titans when Alt got hurt again. Does he make that big of a difference for that team? Because it looks like he does. Because when he's out there and Pipkins is out there, they keep people off of Justin Herbert.
Well, you know, that's the thing. They're really down their top three tackles. I mean, Rashawn Slater is an all-pro caliber player. They lost him before the season. Then they lose Alt. You know, I did that Titans-Chargers game a couple weeks ago where Alt and Bobby Hart got hurt. And they hadn't really announced this, but it felt like Bobby Hart had kind of won the right tackle job. So they're out there playing with their fourth and fifth offensive tackles, which makes what they've done to this point extremely impressive, but it also seems likely that they would win the division. I mean, that is an uphill battle. Herbert's taken so many shots. I'm not sure Herbert is going to stay healthy or make it through the year.
We're talking to Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. What would it take? At what point in the season would you be concerned the Chiefs actually not making the playoffs? Let's say they lose on Sunday. They drop to 5-5. The Colts on deck at that point coming to Kansas City. The Jags just lost last week, which was important based off of the seeding and everything. The Chiefs, of course, do not have the tiebreaker over Jacksonville. What would it take for you to actually be concerned about Kansas City making the postseason?
If they lost the next two. You know, I mean, I think certainly if you have a losing record and you're in the second half of the season, you got an uphill battle. Even if they lose this game to the Broncos, I think, you know, alarm bells will sound, but then it'd be the next week after the Colts. They lose that one, then they are in serious trouble. That would be wild if after all these Super Bowl appearances in a row, they don't even make the playoffs.
Yeah, the December schedule looks great for the Chiefs, having Houston at home, Chargers at home. Their only road games in December on is at Vegas and at Tennessee, very winnable games, and the Broncos squeezed in at home too. But this trifecta of games with Buffalo, they have that loss. Obviously, the Broncos game this weekend. Then the Colts coming out before kind of a Cowboys Thanksgiving game, and who knows what's going to happen in that one. Do you look at the Colts as a realistic team? When you see them, what they're doing, Daniel Jones, I get it. They bring him in. They trade 2 first-round picks for Sauce Gardner. Like, they're believing in what Daniel Jones could do. But on the flip side, he's had 7 turnovers in the last 2 games. I know Jonathan Taylor's a stud and Tyler Warren's a stud. Are you buying into the Colts, or do you need to see more?
No, I'm a believer. I think they're very, very good. Now, the offensive line has not performed quite as well the last couple games. You referenced the turnovers by Daniel Jones. I guess, like a lot of people, and you could probably say this about the Broncos, the Patriots, all these teams leading these divisions right now, it's kind of like, okay, I believe they're good, and I believe that they'll maybe win a playoff game or whatever, but I also will believe they beat Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs when I see it.
Right.
You know, we all have a tough time picturing teams that haven't done it in a long time with quarterbacks that, you know, are up and coming or haven't really established themselves beating the elite like Mahomes, Allen, and Lamar Jackson.
So with that said, then who do you consider the current, you know, Super Bowl contenders? We were trying to go through this yesterday, and I was doing it and as well, and I'm like, I could list like 8 teams. I'm like, there's no way I can say 8 teams can win the Super Bowl, but it does feel more wide open. If I only let you pick 4 or 5, who are the contenders right now?
Well, in the NFC, I would say Eagles, Seahawks, Rams. I feel very good about those 3 teams. I mean, the Seahawks and the Rams, I do power rankings every Tuesday on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. The Seahawks and Rams might be the 2 best teams in the NFL. And they play against each other, by the way, on Sunday at the same time.
It's a great Sunday slate.
At the same time as the Broncos against the Chiefs. So I feel really good in the NFC right now about Rams, Seahawks, Eagles. AFC, that's where it gets strange. It's probably still Chiefs and Ravens. I mean, it's two teams with a combined, you know, 9-9 record. I mean, right now, those are the two teams I feel the best about. You know, the Bills coming off a really bad loss, and one of these teams, Colts, Broncos, Patriots, has a great chance to be the number one seed and all that. I'm just not sure those teams are quite at the level of the other teams, despite their records. Out of those three, though, I would say the team I like the most is probably the Colts.
Ross, when you look at your time in the NFL, was there a certain time in the locker room where teams kind of came together? Because it's one thing to look at games earlier in the year. I mean, after all, the Raiders beat the Patriots in New England first game of the year, so that didn't count. And that's weird. Teams are trying to find themselves. Was it Halloween? Was it the month of November? Was it that December stretch? When was it that you guys kind of came together as a team and realized, all right, it's go team now? And that team is the team to evaluate going forward rather than the beginning of the season. When did that kind of start for you?
It's a great point, and I think it changes from year to year, team to team. Ironically, we were the last winless team in 2001 with Marty Schottenheimer in Washington. We were 0-5, and all of a sudden, LeVar Arrington had a pick six against the Panthers. We won the game. We won the next five in a row. Or even 2004 with the Buffalo Bills, Mike Mularkey, we started off 0-4. We went 9-2 in the next 11 games. So we were 9-6 going into the last game of the year against the Steelers. So you don't really know when it's going to turn. But those teams, you know, a team like the Baltimore Ravens, on some extent the Patriots or the Broncos, but the NFC, the Seahawks, the Rams, these teams that have won 4, 5, 6, 7 games in a row, those are the teams you really got to look at, because it's not just a one-game thing. A lot of this league is like a week-to-week league. Mm-hmm. And teams are up and down. You start winning 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, you're doing something.
Brian Daboll out as the head coach of the Giants yesterday or 2 days ago, I guess, whatever it's been at this point in time. We know Jackson Dart, they made the switch to him to, you know, try to save his job. Brian Daboll did. It didn't pan out that way. Now Jameis is going to start on Sunday, it looks like. Where do you think that organization goes? They're holding on to their GM at this point in time, and they're now going to be one of two teams that currently have openings. Eventually, I'm sure they'll be 5 or 6.
I have a tough time picturing Joe Shane still being their GM. I mean, that you think about the guys that he's let go.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, Xavier McKinney. I mean, I we'll see. I mean, I think it remains to be seen whether or not Shane really stays there. I would have gone for the clean sweep if I were the Giants. And I think they're probably going to try to get somebody established, like an established winner. I don't think they'll do this, but it seems like this is always the spot where Belichick wanted to end up.
Oh, man.
And maybe they'll say, you know what, let's bring him in. You know, because at least at that point, you know you've got a guy that has some serious chops in the NFL.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's a name I think people are already kind of speculating a little bit along the same lines of what you're saying, an established guy that has a track record in the NFL of success. Belichick, I just wonder how much what has happened at North Carolina do you think is just, and knowing that he couldn't get an NFL job prior to North Carolina, how much do you think that the NFL is just done with him?
Well, I think there's part of that. I also think, you know, that North Carolina is not doing well. I think the off-the-field stuff. I think there's just a lot of noise around Belichick that a team would have to decide whether or not they really felt like dealing with that. You know, and I'm not sure a buttoned-up team like the New York Giants really wants to, although it always seemed like he was going to end up there at some point.
Ross, when you look at the NFL and what's going on, obviously these coaches, they're getting the number one overall pick, you know, like in Caleb Williams' case in Chicago, Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville, and this deal with Cam Ward now, all these coaches getting fired that have either first overall selections or first-round picks like Jackson Dart and Brian Daboll in New York. What are teams looking for? Because you look at Mike McDonald, defensive mind, it's working in Seattle right now with Sam Darnold. Belichick, defensive mind, worked with Tom Brady. Sean McDermott, defensive mind, works with Josh Allen. What are teams looking for? Are they searching for pairing that quarterback with an offensive-minded head coach, a defensive-minded coach, or just the right guy? Because seemingly we see these quarterbacks being drafted and not not fixing right in with their head coach.
Yeah, this seems like a bad process, right? I mean, you let a guy pick the number one overall pick, have a lot of impact on that, and then you fire him pretty early that year. Something is off there when you do that. Now, I guess they would say if we saw progress, we would keep him. But it doesn't seem right, I would agree. I think it's three or four straight number one picks.
Yep.
Their coach has gotten fired during the season, not even giving the guy the whole season. And I think everybody's always looking for something different. And usually they're looking for the opposite of what they just had that didn't work. You know, if they had a player's coach, now they want a disciplinarian. If they had a disciplinarian, mm-hmm. now they want a player's coach. They had an offensive guy, now they want a defensive guy. For the Giants, you know, they had a first-time head coach in Dable, now they want an established guy. It's always the opposite of what they just had that didn't work, which, by the way, is bad process. Because the best guy might not be the opposite of what you just had. It might just be a different guy.
Yeah, clearly matters. Ross, you did say you did that Packers-Eagles game, right?
Yeah.
What the hell happened at the end of that game with Sirianni?
You know, it's so funny because it's such a major topic of conversation in Philadelphia, which is unique, by the way, because he's been there 4.5 years. And trust me when I tell you, they're looking to jump on him for any, you know, poor coaching decision. He really hasn't had very many. But now this is the one that everybody's kind of pointing to and saying, what was he doing? I mean, first of all, they won the game. Can you imagine how bad it would be if they lost?
Oh, man.
Yep. And also, I was doing the game on radio. So, it sounds like Troy Aikman came after the decision pretty hard.
Yeah.
I don't think it was as bad as Troy and other people seem to think it was. You know, every team has, or at least should have, a guy that's in charge of game management. The guy for the Eagles is elite. I talk to him a lot. You know, first of all, I don't think they were supposed to throw a deep ball to A.J. Brown. But even in that situation, if A.J. Brown works back for the football, that is pass interference. And the Eagles win the game and look like geniuses. But even so, I mean, what they could have punted, okay? And that, how many times does the team punt in the 36? You know? And okay, oh, they can take a delay game. Well, the Packers could say, no, we're not letting you have a delay game. We're going to decline it. So there's a pretty good chance you punt from the 36 going to the end zone. So it's a touchback. So you get 16 net yards and not a lot of time comes off the clock. And by the way, you have a 0% chance of retaining possession. You are conceding possession. Whereas if you go for it, there's some percentage, I don't know what it is, but some decent percentage that you convert and you end the game. And if you don't get it, there's a percentage chance that, you know, they get the ball at the 36. I didn't have a huge problem with it. I really didn't. I mean, I think I said live during the broadcast they could kick a field goal. I didn't like that idea because if you miss it, they get the ball where you missed the kick from. They could punt it. They could go for it. I actually thought maybe it was a quick kick, like a pooch punt. Mm-hmm. Which I thought would have been awesome if they had done something like that.
Yep. Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Appreciate it, man. We'll check in next week.
Sounds great. See you guys.
That's Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider. Odyssey insider calls are brought to you by Nationwide for your insurance and financial needs. Nationwide is on your side. Yeah, that was super bizarre at the end.
Troy Aikman was harsh on it.
Real quick, I hear that. I don't know what the heck that sound is. That's usually our mock draft sounder around the draft, so it's definitely not related to that. Maybe it is the news from the Cardinals. Wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. underwent surgery for appendicitis. He is out for at least this week and possibly longer.
Wow.
So appendectomy for one Marvin Harrison Jr. Though. That siren is normally reserved for February, March, April. Leading into the draft, it usually means there's a new mock draft that is out.
So why is it
being played on November 12th?
Listen, to me, it's
not a tornado, by the way, because it is Wednesday.
I love me some college football. It's sometimes mock draft season a little early, but it's not just any mock draft season, though. It's the character concerns mock draft season, and Bink, along with Chris Sue Nocero came out with a new mock draft
yeah,
for
new
the
mock.
Chiefs.
Already. Already, man.
Okay, you know what?
Keep in mind, we did this a couple years ago. We had Xavier Worthy to the Chiefs. So we get early.
You are filling in today and tomorrow, so this is perfect timing. I did not know you guys have a new mock draft out.
Of course.
Is this a full first round
it's
mock?
It's first one. No, just Chiefs. Next time we'll do it be a full of every team, but this time just Chiefs specific.
So...
And then, by the way, they moved up to 17, so because the record.
Wait, so you picked the Chiefs at 17?
And the draft order is 17, which also is good news for the Chiefs because it's also the waiver order. They're not, but also the waiver wire where they sit because it resets after 3 weeks in the season.
Who do you have in the first early?
Way too early, you're saying.
It's not too early.
It's not too early. It's never too early, is it, Drew?
Mock drafts are everywhere right now. Yeah, of course.
By the way, I'm writing this name down because by the time we get to May, and this is my gripe with every single mock drafter that's out there, they will do a million of these, and they'll have nine different guys across 5 months going to the Chiefs or whoever, and then after draft night, they'll say, see, we mocked him. I'm like, yeah, you mocked him and 10 other guys in the first round. Anyway, go ahead. Xavier Worthy.
All right, offense or defense? I obviously want offense with Patrick Mahomes, right? But Chris and I had to come to consensus with this. Every other one, you know, we trade off doing the first pick or the Chiefs pick if we're doing an all-round mock. So I had Chris do this one, but we both agreed on the position because it is a position of need. If I ask you, Andrew,
okay.
For you, Drew, for you, Alex, which direction would you have gone?
It has to be defensive lineman.
D-line.
Okay. So you're probably going to agree with me.
Okay.
As we go, Christian Miller knows and three technique, one technique. He can also play the edge with the University of Georgia. This guy's 6'4", 310 pounds. This guy can do everything. And he's looked
upon.
How
are his hips, Bank? How are his hips
and knees?
At
this point, it could be towards the end of the first round is kind of how he is. But Christian Miller... We get a guy that can play three technique. That's where most of his snaps are. Can play the end. Also can move over to the one at nose, which they tried with Norman Lott. They really tried to squeeze him to be at one technique instead of three where he should. Any disagreements of what direction we went here in the first round for the Chiefs?
I would say no. I mean, in terms of a guy that obviously addresses a position of need is most importantly, plus you're going to the Georgia Bulldogs, it's difficult to argue against that for some numbers.
Philadelphia, Howie Roseman likes him.
Can I just tell you right away, when I heard that name, Bink, this was my reaction.
From Ohio State.
I hate this pick, actually. That's my reaction.
I hate this pick. I don't like it. That's my reaction right away.
He has got, to give you some numbers, he's got 16 combined tackles, seven solo, two tackles for loss, half a sack.
Great against the run.
In 23 and 24, he had a sack and a sack and a half and some tackles for loss. So, yeah, he definitely feels, like you said, nose tackle. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Well, he can move all around for space. He can play three technique, one technique, play the edge. He can do everything. Yeah, I hate this pick. No, I don't hate that pick.
Would you rather want a pass rushing? Okay, Gold, let me ask. I'm curious. So when you hear nose tackle, is that like, it's turning me off a little bit compared to a pass rushing defensive tackle?
He's a defensive tackle.
I'm giving Bink a hard time. No, defensive line.
I wonder if there's a difference just in terms of...
You guys
can
give me crap about this later.
Whether it's interior, whether it's an edge rusher, either one I think has to be the first round pick next year for Kansas City. I think it's very
obvious. For the record, I stayed with Mahomes every single mock. For the record.
I thought it was Deshaun Watson.
Real quick, before Xavier Worthy, we did change
because of Hollywood Brown coming because the same guys.
Before you said what your pick was, you wanted to get offense from Mahomes again.
I did, but it was just such a good player at the position of need because they do need this position. And of course, they have a first round, a second round, a third round, two fours, a fifth, no sixth, and the seventh is going to be conditional as far as the Chiefs. So yes, they need to address running back in the early rounds, I believe. And tight end, you would say, but you better be getting the tight end in the first because Kenyon Sadiq and Eli Stowers is probably only the first round tight ends are going to be taken.
Stowers is so good, you have to address with Kelsey in the first round.
But again, you can grab one in the second or third, but they're not going to be the quality. And I get it, Kelsey came from the third, but that's a big asterisk on that one. But yes, defensive line is a position in need. And they can get a quality one for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Say his name again.
Christian Miller.
Okay, we'll mark that one down. I can't believe we already have a mock. This was shocking today.
Did you purposely release this
before you were filling in today?
No, we do it every week. We do a draft show every week.
And will you have a mock draft every week the rest of the way now?
Well, not every week, but quite a bit, a couple of months.
So there'll be like 20 of these?
No.
10?
Well, we get to do a full NFL one,
character
too.
Character concerns versus Mel Kiper. The mock season has begun already.
You should release
you
one every single week until the draft now.
Nah, probably not.
You guys should also tag Kiper to see if you know you can go toe-to-toe with Mel.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. We okay. did stick with Norman Lott.
I hadn't heard that mock draft sounder since May. So.
It sounds good, didn't it?
It's back.
Good?
It's back, and it works. And hopefully we don't hear it again for another 3 months.
No,
we'll
every time we put one out, Drew should play it.
Okay, true. All right. Up next, let's talk about something that I'm sure everybody wants to also hear. That is, what is going on with the Chiefs stadium front? There was an update from the Missouri governor I thought was interesting yesterday. Plus, we'll take a look at the latest MVP odds right here on Cody and Gold.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
ARK Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival Raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last. So don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Deborah had to have surgery.
I had hip surgery in November of 2024.
Her United Healthcare nurse, Crystal, checked on her.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell that she was struggling.
Deborah needed help.
My infection markers were through the roof.
And Crystal knew what to do.
I called the hospital and said she's coming in.
And got Deborah the help she needed.
Crystal and United Healthcare saved my life.
Hear more stories like Deborah's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.